What do we owe our veterans? On the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in the year 1918, the world celebrated. Anybody know what that celebration was? I'm sorry? Exactly, the end of World War I. The war of all wars. The war that was so horrendous, they said and believed that there would never be another one. President Woodrow Wilson issued a proclamation to celebrate and called it Armistice Day. And we would celebrate it on November 11th. But in the year 1938, the day was declared a national holiday. In 1954, the name was changed to Veterans Day in order to honor all of the U.S. soldiers of any war. So let me ask you this. In the Civil War, has anybody ever heard of the story of the Palmyra Massacre? Anybody? We're going to visit it a couple times this morning. On September 12th, in the year 1862, Confederate Army Colonel Joseph Porter decided to raid Elmira, Missouri, and release the 45 Confederate prisoners who had been captured and placed in the county jail. Most of the Union forces were off on a wild goose chase. Colonel Porter and about 400 men slipped into the town. They captured several prisoners, and among them was a 60-year-old soldier by the name of Andrew Alsman. Mr. Alsman was a Union sympathizer, and he had a reputation of betraying his Confederate neighbors to the militia. He was very much disliked. I would venture to say he was probably hated by some. Colonel Porter, after occupying the town for about 2 hours, felt that he had accomplished his purpose. The prisoners in the jail were freed. Arms and supplies were confiscated, and some horses were taken before the rebel soldiers withdrew from the town. So let me say this. All veterans are committed to a cause. Let's look at verse 37 again. If you are the King of Jews, save yourself. The crowd at the cross was taunting Jesus. Now I have no doubt that some of the people that were stood there at the foot of Jesus' cross were just silent. And I have no doubt that some of them there were very loud. And I have no doubt that some of them there were obnoxious. Because they all had a cause. They were taunting Jesus. They said, "All right, listen, Mr. Big. If you say you are what you say you are, you can just save yourself. Let's see it. If you can't, then you can't." But you see, Jesus was committed to a cause also. He was sent to this earth to save the world through the cross. Our veterans, they have demonstrated a heart that is also committed to a cause. But what is that cause? Well, there are several of them. And I'll list just a few here this morning. One is the cause of freedom. Our veterans were committed to this cause, to the cause of courage, to the cause of love of country, to the cause of constitutional self-government. Just as Jesus was committed to a cause, so are our veterans. So let me ask you this question this morning. To what are you committed? What is your cause? What is your cause when it comes to church? What is your cause when it comes to tithing? What is your cause when it comes to volunteering? What is your cause when it comes to feeding the hungry? What is your cause when it comes to housing the homeless? What is your cause when it comes to honoring the veterans? What is your cause when it comes to honoring Jesus Christ? What is your cause when it comes to bringing glory to God in His kingdom? What purpose would you dedicate your energy? What purpose would you dedicate your finances? What purpose would you dedicate your time? You see, we honor our veterans, but we worship our commander-in-chief. We owe our liberty to our veterans, but we owe our eternal lives to Jesus Christ. We salute the flag, but we kneel before the cross of Jesus. So let's go back to our story. On October 8th, the Provost Marshal William R. Strachan published a notice to the Confederate Colonel Porter that unless Osmond was returned within 10 days, 10 former Confederate soldiers held as prisoners in Palmyra and Hannibal would be executed. 10 for 10, right? The 10 days elapsed and no reply was ever received. It was believed that Andrew Osmond was dead. On that day, 10 Confederate prisoners already in custody were selected to pay with their lives. These soldiers were informed on Friday evening that unless Mr. Osmond was returned to his family by 1 o'clock on the following day, they would be shot at that hour. The Reverend James S. Green remained with them during the night as their spiritual advisor, endeavoring to prepare them for their sudden entrance to the presence of their Maker. Excuse me. So a little after 11 a.m. the next day, 3 government wagons drove to the jail. These wagons carried a total of 10 handmade, very rough, very crude coffins. Now let's look at verse 42 and 43. And it says there, then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, surely I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. You see, for these men on the cross, time was running out. Their lives were about to end, but their eternal destinies were about to begin. Though both had joined in the crowd's taunts of Jesus, one of them repented and asked Jesus to remember him, and Jesus' reply changed the course of that man's eternal future. Just that fast. In an instant. In an instant, he was delivered from damnation and hell. His soul was taken to paradise. For this thief, eternity is much different than it might have been. This is a different world than we would have been if it hadn't been for the dedication of our veterans. We still live in a corrupt and twisted society. More today, perhaps, than ever before. Who knows what powers might have dominated if it were not for the commitment of our veterans? I would suggest that perhaps we'd be speaking German today. I would suggest that perhaps the women would be wearing burkas. I dare bet you we'd be riding camels. Probably be commanded to worship other gods rather than the God. And this list could go on and on and on. So I ask you, what are you willing to do for the future of the church? For the future of your family? For the future of this church? For the future of the church? What are you willing to do? However differently our nation history might have been, without the contribution of our veterans, nothing can compare with the change Jesus made through the cross. He came to rescue for time and eternity. So back to our story. 10 men were escorted into the prison and seated in the wagons, one sitting upon each coffin, a guard of the soldier accompanying them, and the cavalcade had started for the fairgrounds located half a mile east of town. 10 coffins were removed from the wagons, and they were placed in a row 6 to 8 feet apart. 30 soldiers of the Union Army were drawn up in a single line, facing the row of coffins. Arrangements completed, the doomed men knelt on the grass between their coffins and the soldiers while the Reverend R.M. Rhodes offered up a prayer. At the conclusion of this, each prisoner took his seat at the foot of his coffin, facing the muskets that in a few moments were to launch them into eternity. There were over 100 spectators that gathered to witness this scene. The stillness of death pervaded the place. The officer of command now stepped forward, and these words were heard. Ready! Aim! Fire! Let's look at verse 46. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, in your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. You see, Jesus didn't shrink back at the point of death. Jesus gave it all. In Mark 10, verse 45, it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but he served, and to give his life a ransom for many." In Romans 5, verse 6, it says, "For while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." In verse 8, it says, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." In verse 10, it says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." You see, our veterans, they were willing to pay the price. They gave up the safety and the peacefulness of being at home. They left their friends and families. They surrendered their personal plans for education and careers. Some suffered the loss of sight. Some forfeited their limbs. Many were radically disabled. Many actually paid the price of their very lives. Countless young men and women in bloom of their youth had been willing to pay the price, however great, for the cause to which they were committed in order to change the course of the future of this nation. Some gave it all. And all gave some. They paid the ultimate price. So I ask you this morning, what price are you willing to pay? What price are you willing to pay to maintain our spiritual freedom? To where we can just gather on a Sunday morning or whenever we choose and worship God through our words and through our actions, bring glory and honor to His kingdom without fear of being persecuted, without fear of being killed, without fear of being something less than what God has intended us to be. You see, to fulfill the purpose of Christ that He has called you, to rid yourself of all that robs you of God's highest expectations of you, to do what you can to have personal faith in Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus paid in His blood for those who couldn't have cared less, for the ungodly, for the sinners, for the wicked, for the righteous, for the leaders, for the small guy, for the hungry, for the homeless, for those that were not yet born. You see, Jesus knew you in the womb, and He died for you. No greater price has ever been paid. So let's go back to our story. One of the 10 men originally on the list of prisoners to be executed received a last-minute reprieve. The reprieved man was William T. Humphrey. Hearing that Humphrey was under the sentence of death, a young man named Hiram Smith came forward, explaining that he was unmarried, that he was without family, and he asked permission to take the place of Mr. Humphrey, stating that perhaps it would be better for a single man to die than a man with a family. This is a true story, by the way. So today, if you go to the cemetery at Mount Pleasant Church in the town of Mount Salem, you will find a stone that has been erected with the following inscription. This monument is dedicated to the memory of Hiram Smith, the hero who sleeps beneath the sod here, was shot in Palmyra on October 17th in the year of 1862 as a substitute for William T. Humphrey, my father. This is exactly what Jesus has done for us. He has become our substitute. As a result, we have become an eternal monument to the riches of His mercy and to the overabundance of His grace. Veterans Day is an opportunity for us to thank those who loved enough to give their lives for others. The cross is a monument that speaks to all who will hear these words. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And all of God's children said, Amen.